Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
This morning, as I woke up, I had prepared last night up until late, you know, to be ready for you, and because I always take filling this pulpit very seriously. When Pastor Ronnie is gone, I like to come in and give you my very best, and that's what I owe Pastor Ronnie, and that's what I owe you, and that's what I owe God. So last night I prepared, and then this morning the Lord spoke quietly to my spirit, come meet with me. So I drove to McDonald's because that's where I meet with the Lord. I sat there for 2.5 hours and wrote this sermon. By the time I left, they were all looking at me very funny. They didn't know what was up with that guy in the corner with the laptop and the iPad and the earphones on and a notepad and writing this sermon. But I believe the Lord changed this sermon for a reason tonight, because there's somebody here tonight that needs healing. There's somebody here tonight that needs a shift. There's somebody here tonight that's been pushing and pushing and struggling and struggling, and nothing's happening, and you need a shift. There needs to be a shift happen around you. And I believe wholeheartedly that the Lord sent me tonight just to be a conduit of his will for your life, so that as I deliver this message, your faith will be aroused and you'll be ready for that shift by the end of this message. So that's what this is about tonight. That's why I've asked the band to stick with me for a moment, because I need to know, first of all, I need my faith to be built up before I deliver this message to you. And I believe that you need your faith to be built up before I deliver this message to you. So I want to know, by a show of hands, how many of you have been in a spot that you didn't think you could get out of, and then God showed up? Why don't you stand? If you've been in a spot in your life that you didn't know how in the world you were going to get out of it, you had no clue what was going to happen. All that you saw was your own demise. All that you saw was the end of everything that you held true. All that you saw was the end of everything that you had worked for. And then all of a sudden, God stepped into your situation in the midnight hour. Amen. All of those standing, why don't you just give him some praise? Sometimes we need to go back to that. Amen. Give him some praise. Because he's a good God. He's a good, good God. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. And you know what? Even some of you standing tonight are in a situation in your life where you need a shift. And even some of you standing tonight giving God praise for how he helped your situation in the past are struggling to see how he's going to help your situation now. Have faith. Remember how he showed up for you. Do you remember what it felt like in that instant that God showed up? Do you remember the relief that poured off of you? Do you remember the anxiety that just poured off of you? Do you remember the pure joy that just rose up within you? Do you remember how the Holy Spirit was just all over the place? Do you remember how the room felt and the atmosphere felt, and the Holy Spirit was just doing a work in everybody around you? Notice something different in you because of what God did for you? Do you feel that in here tonight? Because I feel him right now. You can be seated. Thank you, band. And Josh, just stick close. You don't have to stay up here, but just stick close for me. I'm going to be preaching on the topic tonight. It actually has a title and then a subtitle. And the title that I'm going to be preaching on is When Your Mantle Appears. When Your Mantle Appears. And then a subtitle is simply this: three words from God. And the reason that I don't believe I've ever titled a sermon quite like this before, because the first portion of that is the sermon, when your mantle appears. That's the sermon tonight. The second part of that in the subtitle is three words from God. And I don't use these words lightly, as a prophetic word for some of you in this room tonight. And three words from God is a prophetic word for some of you in this room tonight. We're going to be reading out of 1 Kings chapter 19. You can turn with me there or click on your phone or whatever device you're using. I'd like to take a moment and just welcome those that are watching at home on live stream. Those that can't make it in because of physical ailments or maybe distance. We have folks listening and watching from out of state. Welcome. We're glad that you're tuned in tonight and being a part of the worship service with us as well. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to work through this chapter a little backwards tonight. So I'm going to start in verse 19, and then we're going to go backwards from there. Well, I'm going to read 19 to 21, and then we're going to go backwards in the chapter from there. So 1 Kings chapter 19, in verse 19, it reads, "So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he, Elijah, said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you?' So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant." Let's pray. Father, I just worship you tonight. I just thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do in this place. I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in people's lives. Father, I thank you for the opportunity just to stand up here and be a conduit of your flow, a conduit of your water, a conduit of your help, your love tonight, Father. And I give you all the praise and the glory. And Father, I just pray that those that are in this room that need to receive this would have open hearts and open minds and open ears, and they would receive it and apply it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So I want to talk to you tonight because where we're starting reading in this chapter, we find a place where Elijah the prophet has just thrown his mantle on Elisha the prophet, right? So there's Elisha and then there's Elijah, but we've just come out of reading all about of Elijah in 1 Kings, and we're learning all about the things that he did and the things that he saw and the things that he walked through. And then at the end of 1 Kings, we run into a point where Elijah needs to give his mantle to Elisha, and he transfers his mantle to another prophet. Now, Elijah had just been through an entire mess. See, the whole land of Israel was in drought. And I find it funny, we sing songs tonight about letting the rain come and letting the fire fall down. And we sang songs about that tonight, and we didn't collaborate on this message, Josh and I. Josh sat down and filled out the songs separately, and then I didn't even see them until today when I was putting my message in the computer. But Elijah found himself in the land of Israel, and the land of Israel was in a complete drought. There was a king who was a mess. King Ahab. King Ahab was a coward, and King Ahab wasn't ruling the land well. And King Ahab allowed his wife, Jezebel, to push him around and push the people around and do whatever she liked, all the way up to killing the prophets of God. So you have a king who was a coward times 12, and then you have Jezebel, who was evil to the 16th power, and they were in control of Israel, and the land of Israel was in a drought. The land of Israel was in a mess. They needed rain to fall, and there was no rain. What I want to know tonight is, what kind of drought have you been in? What kind of a drought season are you in currently? Maybe you came into this year in January and Pastor declared that this was going to be a year of victory, and maybe you haven't seen that victory come to fruition yet because you're continuously still in a drought. Maybe that drought has gotten so bad that a fire has ignited, and maybe you're currently in the fire. Maybe you were in a drought, and now all the dry ground has ignited, and now you find yourself in a fire. Well, Elijah found himself going through a drought and then dealing with fire, and then eventually the rain came. How many of you tonight could use a rain in your life? How many of you tonight would raise a hand and say, God, I need you to rain on my circumstances. I need you to rain on my position. I need you to rain on my family. I need you to rain on my marriage. I need you to rain on my hard heart. Lord, I need you to rain in my prayer life. I need you to rain on me spiritually, physically, in all other ways, Lord. Lord, I need your rain tonight. See, it's time tonight, and I bring this word to you to tell you not to fear, but to trust God and to be ready to receive. And some of you tonight are going to get that shift before this service is over. Some of you tonight are going to feel that shift in your atmosphere before this service is over. See, Elijah and his mantle had been through the drought, they had been through the fire, and then they'd been through the rain. But how many of you know that the mantle wasn't just a piece of cloth, right? It was what the cloth represented. See, the mantle was not just a piece of cloth that Elijah wore over his shoulders. The mantle was not just cloth that could burn up and throw away. The mantle was not just something that you could toss into a fire and shred, but the mantle represented his testimony. The mantle represented what Elijah had been through in his life. So there was a significant moment when Elijah walked up to Elisha and found him plowing and took off his mantle and threw it on him. Because it wasn't just a cloth that represented a position, but it was the testimony. It was everything that he had been through. How many of you know that when there's a drought, there's a higher danger of fire? Amen? So you find yourself in a drought for a while. Have you ever been driving down the road and you drove by a forest, a state forest, and they have Smokey the Bear out there on a sign, and it tells you what the level of danger is for a fire that day? And if there had been a drought for a long time, the danger is red and the danger is fire. Because sometimes we can be in a drought in our life for so long that the least little thing could ignite flames. The least little thing could ignite a fire in our life that could threaten to burn up everything that we have. That could threaten to burn up everything that we are. So we need rain. We need rain. See, Elisha had been plowing. He had been pushing. He had been pulling. He had been trying. He had been working. He had been fighting. He had been struggling. And was still in the process of plowing when his mantle showed up. How many of you tonight, I wonder, are currently in the process of plowing? You're currently in the process of the struggle. You're struggling, you're trying, you're fighting, you're pushing, and you're just waiting for your mantle to show up. You may be plowing tonight through financial hardships, and you're pushing, and you're scrapping, and you're fighting, and you're waiting on the mantle of financial freedom to show up in your life. You may be scrapping and fighting and plowing and pushing through a struggling marriage, and you're waiting for God to show up and throw a mantle of a God-honoring, respectful, and loving marriage in your life. You may have been pushing and plowing through other relationships in your life that are broken, and God says your mantle of reconciliation is about to fall. See, the enemy wants to stop the person that's coming to deliver you your mantle before he ever gets to you. If the enemy had stopped Elijah, then he would have stopped Elisha. If the enemy could have stopped Elijah, then nothing ever would have gotten done by Elisha. See, Elijah thought it was the end for him. He found himself in a situation where he had dealt with Jezebel. He had dealt with the prophets of Baal. He was sitting on a mountain, and he was fighting against all the priests of Baal, right? He had dealt with all the priests of Baal. He had dealt with everything they were bringing at him. They were slaughtering themselves, and they were praying for rain, and they were having a contest. And Elijah stood there and watched as they cried out to their gods, and they slaughtered themselves, and they were having this huge contest, and then they couldn't bring the rain. And then Elijah stood up, and he called on God, and the rain came. When the rain came, Ahab went to Jezebel and told her all that he had seen, and Jezebel made a threat. When she threatened Elijah, he ran. I wonder tonight how many people sitting in this room under the sound of my voice are thinking it's the end of whatever your personal situation is. You've been battling, you've been struggling, and the enemy has threatened you, and you think it's the end. You don't see any way out. You don't see any way through. You're struggling, you're fighting, but you're about to give up. And this is where Elijah found himself. He had fought the good fight. He had seen God bring the rain, and yet when he was threatened by Jezebel, he ran and he hid in a cave and he prayed that God would kill him. But you know what happened? God spoke to him and said, "It's not over." I'm struggling through this tonight because there's somebody in here, and I feel it in my spirit, that you want to give up. You want to quit. You've been trying to pray through. You've been trying to fight it. But a deep depression has sat in. A deep depression has come upon you. And you're just praying to end it all. You're just praying to give up. But as God spoke to Elisha, I'm speaking to you tonight. God says, it's not over. It's not the end. As a matter of fact, here's your next assignment, is what he told Elijah. He said, oh no, you're not getting out of this. You're not done. You have to continue to fight because there's people that are depending upon you. And I would tell you tonight, those of you in this room who are thinking that it's time to quit, it's time to give up, it's time to quit struggling, there are people down the road that are going to be depending upon you. And as God spoke to Elijah, Elijah sat in the mouth of that cave and listened to God instruct him. And he said, you're going to anoint a king here, and you're going to anoint a new king over Israel. And oh, by the way, you're going to anoint a new prophet that's going to take your place when you're gone. You still have things to do. So I'm telling you this, I'm telling you tonight that if you've been thinking about giving up, God is telling me to tell you tonight that it is not over. You still have an assignment. You still have people to impact. You still have people that need you, and it's not over yet. God has not given up on you, and you shouldn't give up on you. 1 Kings 19, if we skip back to 15, then the Lord said to Elijah, he said, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. See, Elijah had fallen into a trap that many of us fall into, believing that he was the only one in the situation that he was in. He believed he was the only prophet left in Israel, that all the other ones had died. He was listening to the words of the enemy speaking into his ears, that he was the only one struggling. He was the only one that's ever dealt with this. And he decided that if he was the only one left, then it would be better that he died than continue on. And God said, no. You don't understand. You're not the only one that's ever dealt with this. You're not the only one currently dealing with this. There's other people who know exactly what you're dealing with, know exactly what you're going through, know exactly how you feel. And matter of fact, I'll bring them into your life. And then they can feed into you, and they can encourage you, and they can build you up so that you have the strength to take on the next assignment that I've given you. See, God said, not only do you have work to do, but the mantle that you have will carry on the assignment that you've started. See, it didn't have to be finished by Elijah, but his mantle needed to be carried on. See, if we as a church are going to continue to work of God and continue this growth that we've been in, and we have been in a major growth period for Crystal River Church of God, if we're going to continue this growth, then we must be ready to receive the mantles that are passed on by those who go before us. That means that complacent Christianity has no place in our lives. That means that being saved on Sunday and living like hell on Monday has no place in our lives. But we have to be willing and ready to walk the walk that God has called us to and walk it out and join forces with those who have gone before us, even those that currently sit in this church right now who may be a little bit older than you, who have carried the mantle longer than you, that you need to hook arms with and receive that mantle so that you can run the race when they're done. Amen? Pastor Cash is a mighty, mighty man of God. He's been carrying the mantle of the Church of God for 50 plus years. 50 plus years. And you know what? I thank God that Pastor Cash battled the battles that he did before it ever got to me. I thank God that Pastor Cash dealt with the things that he dealt with and killed the giants that he killed so that young ministers like me could step into the ministry and not have to deal with the same issues, not have to deal with the same things. There's many people sitting in this church, and God is calling you to link arms with some of them so that you can carry on the mantle that they have when they're done. Amen? Who in this church, and I'm going to ask you tonight, has a mantle that needs to be shared with somebody coming up? Who in this church, by a raise of hands, has a mantle on your life that needs to be shared with somebody else that's coming up? We need people out of youth that are coming into regular service to start picking up the mantles of those who are finishing up their life of ministry. Amen? Sister Caps just retired after 45 years of teaching third graders and young kids in Sunday school class. 45 years she carried that mantle. Amen? Now there's somebody stepping into her class to pick up that mantle and carry it on. Who in this church desires for a mantle to be passed on to you? But it takes work. It takes work. We can't just pick it up and go. It takes work. Here's three words that God gave me for you tonight. This is the first one, and I've already touched on this a little bit. God is not finished with you. See, Elijah felt left out and alone and depressed and forgotten, and even prayed in verse 4 that he might die. You may feel left out and abandoned, but you are not alone. You may have walked through a divorce and you feel like tainted goods, but you are not alone. God has a design for you, but it's up to you to walk in it. When your walk and God's design meet is where you come into contact with your God-desired destiny. Does anybody get that tonight? Help me out, Brother Allen. Begin to walk anywhere in the sanctuary. Except towards me. God has a mantle for you, for each and every person in this room. And God's walking this way because he's walking towards the end result of where you're supposed to be. He's walking toward where he wants to meet with you at. He's walking towards, but if you're walking opposite of where God wants you, you're never going to cross that path to receive the mantle that he has for you. But eventually, if you begin to turn and you begin to get on the path that God has for you, it doesn't matter if you've been running from God for 30 years. If you begin to turn and you begin to get on the path that God has for you, then eventually you're going to intersect into his will for your life. And when he does, you're going to receive that mantle. And when you receive that mantle, you're going to walk in new authority. You're going to walk in new power. You're going to walk in new circumstances that you never had before. And you're also going to lay down some things that have been plaguing you for your entire life. How many of you know a Christian, or it may be you, who has struggled with the same old sins for 12 years of being a Christian? 12 years of being a Christian because your walk hasn't yet lined up with God's destiny for you. Your walk hasn't yet lined up with God's destiny so that he can put the mantle on you so that you can let go of some of the earthly things that you've been carrying and begin to walk in the heavenly things that God has for you. See, this is a Wednesday night crowd, and a Wednesday night crowd should be off milk and on to meat. This may not be something we could preach in a Sunday morning service, but in a Wednesday night crowd at this point in your life, you are the mantle carriers for this church. You come to a Wednesday night, if this is your first time with us, I'm not necessarily talking about you. But if you come on Wednesday nights on a regular basis and you're a member, you're a part of this church, you are the mantle carriers for this church. So in order to do that, you've got to step up and begin to walk in the direction towards the destiny that God has for you. Amen? You may have run away from God for a time and you feel unworthy. God still wants you. God still desires you. Number two is this. God is prepared to bless you with someone else's double portion. As I sat and wrote these tonight, I know that these are for somebody in here. This may not be for everybody in here, but this is for somebody in here. Now, I've got a disclaimer on this one. This is for those who have been pushing and plowing and breaking the ground and planting seed. If you have been pushing and plowing and breaking the ground and planting the seed, then God has a double portion mantle for you. If you haven't been doing the work, don't expect to receive the mantle. Don't expect to receive it. But those that are in here tonight that have been pushing and plowing and planting seed and breaking ground, and you've been putting in the work, you can claim it tonight that you have a double portion coming from God. He has a double portion for you. See, when Elisha, he had no idea that Elijah was coming. God directed Elijah to tell him where he was, and he went and found him, and he was pushing the plow, and he was breaking the ground, and he was planting the seed. He was pushing the plow, he was breaking the ground, he was planting seed, and when Elijah found him. And out of the blue, when he walked up, he noticed he didn't find Elisha with his feet kicked up in the shade tree, right? Notice he didn't find Elisha living and doing whatever he pleased with his life. He found Elisha plowing the ground, breaking the ground, planting the seed. And if you've been plowing the ground and breaking the ground and planting the seed, then this prophetic word is for you tonight that God is ready to release a double portion mantle on your life. He is ready for that to happen. 2017 is your year of victory. 2017 is your year of victory. And it's time that some of us begin to say that and get it in our spirit. If you've been doing the work, expect to receive it. Hallelujah. When the mantle fell on Elisha, he released the plow. See, the word says, when the mantle fell on Elisha, he released the plow. See, Elijah kind of just walked by like dropping the mic. You know, he walked by and he dropped his mantle on him and just started walking off. And as soon as Elisha felt that mantle on him, he released the plow. So I'm going to tell you tonight that if you're here tonight and God is getting ready to do a work in you and God is getting ready to move on you, maybe at this altar after the service, that as soon as that mantle hits your shoulders, you drop the plow. You release the earthly things. See, when heavenly things come upon you, you're called to release the earthly things. What earthly things have you been hanging on to? Have you been hanging on to certain sins? Have you been hanging on to certain addictions? Have you been hanging on to certain struggles? When heavenly things fall on you tonight, release the earthly things in your spirit. Be prepared to drop them. Be prepared to let them go. See, I love this. Elisha killed his oxen. Well, I don't necessarily love that part. You know, I'm not a hater of animals. But he killed the oxen, and he threw a party for those people who were going to be a part of his past. Some people in here tonight need to kill the oxen, break up the equipment, start a fire, cook that oxen, and serve it to the people or the things that need to be a part of your past. See, he had a retirement party for the plow. He had a retirement party for the oxen. He had a retirement party for that part of his life. Amen? And then he stepped into his new calling. And that's where we need to be. Some of you tonight need to be throwing a retirement party for your struggles. Some of you tonight need to be throwing a retirement party for your pain, for your unforgiveness, for your shame, for your sins, for your addictions. Some of you tonight need to be throwing a retirement party for those things that have kept you bound up and stopped you from running the race. And release it tonight. See, Elisha was plowing and struggling and fighting and working and sweating, and then his mantle showed up. He was plowing and struggling and fighting and working and sweating and anxious and fearful and worried, and then his mantle showed up. He was working by the sweat of his brow, and then his mantle showed up, and his life changed forever. See, God has declared good things over you, and through your obedience and your faithfulness to God, you are creating a generational line of men and women who will serve God and continue to rebuke the enemy even after you're long gone. How many of you want that for your lives? How many of you want not a generation of curses on those that you that come from your loins and those that you raise and the grandkids and the families, but a generational of blessings, a generation of giant killers, a generation of those who will rebuke the enemy. Amen? You see, your mantle doesn't fade away and die, but it carries on through generations of kids and grandkids. I thought about CRCOG when I wrote this, and Sister Sally Turner, in the history of CRCOG, prayed this church into existence in the 1920s. In the 1920s, they brought in tent revivalists and had tent revivals in this city, praying in a Pentecostal church, praying in a church that would move in the Spirit. And then in 1932, Crystal River Church of God got planted. 1932. And now in 2017, coming up very shortly on 100 years, 2017, we had 710 people in here last Sunday. 2017, we see the move of the Holy Spirit on this place. 2017, people are still receiving Christ in this house. 2017, people are still being baptized in the Holy Spirit in this house. 2017, and people are still receiving their healings in this house. 2017, and people are still receiving marital and emotional help in this house. Her mantle did not fade away, but it was passed on to those for years and years and years to come. Hallelujah. Number three. Word number three, and this is an important one. What the enemy has spoken over you, God rebukes. First Kings 19, 2 and 3. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." In other words, she said, "You killed 400 of my prophets of Baal. In the next 24 hours, you're going to die." And Elijah heard that, and he arose and ran for his life. You see, some of you in here tonight have heard the words of the enemy over your life. The enemy has said, "Your marriage is done. The enemy has said, your finances are forever ruined. The enemy has said, nobody wants you. The enemy has said, you're never going to overcome this addiction. The enemy has spoken death over you. And I want you to know that tonight, what the enemy has spoken, God rebukes. God turns it back around. So Jezebel said Elijah would be dead in 24 hours, and Elijah runs in fear. Hell signed Elijah's death warrant that day. Hell put out a wanted poster with Elijah's face on it that day and said, we're going to kill you. Demons began to plan it out, how they were going to direct people and direct evil to kill Elijah. Demons began to plan out the celebration party they were going to have when he died within the next 24 hours. Demons began to laugh in glee when Jezebel, her shrill voice, I could only imagine, I had never heard it personally, but her shrill voice probably screamed out, tomorrow, this time, Elijah will be dead. I swear. And that's what she said. However, Elijah didn't die in 24 hours. Elijah didn't die in 36 hours. Elijah didn't die in 54 hours. Elijah didn't die in 1 week. Elijah didn't die in 1 year. Elijah didn't die in 5 years. Elijah didn't even die in 2,800 years since that took place. Because God sent a fiery chariot from heaven and picked up Elijah and took him to heaven without him ever having to taste death. Without him ever having to come to pass anywhere close to what the enemy had spoken over his life. God sent him a chariot just for him and picked him up and took him to heaven, holy, alive. And to this day, Elijah has never tasted death because God didn't want to give the enemy the satisfaction of knowing that what he spoke over Elijah happened, even if it was 100 years later. So I'm here to tell you tonight that what the enemy has spoken over you does not have to come to pass. What you are accepting that the enemy has spoken over you will not come to pass. That if you are in here tonight and you are a child of God and you've been putting your hand to the plow and you've been believing whatever lie the enemy has spoken into your life, God officially rebukes it tonight. God turns it around. See, hell issued a death warrant for Elisha, but heaven rebuked it. The devil wanted him dead. God kept him alive. See, when the enemy says you're going to be a financial wreck for the rest of your life, God says, but I have a mantle for him. When the enemy says you will never have a good marriage, God says, but I have a mantle for them. When the enemy says you will never conquer this addiction, God says, I have a mantle for you. Whatever decree that an enemy has spoken over your life, let me implore you tonight, do not run. Stand your ground and receive your mantle. Look at your neighbor tonight, help me, Josh, and say, what heaven has started, hell cannot stop. Let's say it with some authority. Look at your neighbor tonight and say, what heaven has started, hell cannot stop. Some of you in here tonight are in the middle of the struggle and you need to get a little more militant. Some of you in here tonight, life is going just fine and that's okay with, yeah, what heaven has started, hell cannot start. But maybe some of you in here are in the middle of the struggle. Some of you in here are in the middle of the fight and you need to shout it out that what heaven has started in your life, hell will not stop. Hallelujah. What God has for you, hell cannot stop. Take away. Amen? Stand with me tonight. Josh is going to sing in a moment. This is what I feel in my spirit. There's some folks in here that need a mantle for a new change. They need a mantle for things to turn around. They need an atmosphere change in their life. If that's you in this house, I'm going to ask you to step out right now and come to the altar. And I know it's more than just one. I know it's more than just one. You've been struggling and struggling and struggling, and you're ready for the shift. But if you come, you need to have the faith. If you come to this altar, you need to be ready to receive what God has for you. Because it's not me. It's not Pastor Steve. It's not the ministers in this church. It's not even the power of this altar at CRCOG, but it's the power of God that's getting ready to fall on you right now. It's the power of God that causes change in people's lives. It's the power of God that causes mindset changes. It's the power of God that rebukes the enemy and the devil and his lies off of your life. So if you're ready to receive it, come join these folks up here. But you need to walk in faith. You need to speak it as you come. I have faith and I'm ready to receive. I have faith and I'm ready to receive. We're going to sing for a moment and then we're going to pray.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.